The following Wheat Among the Tares program has been pre-recorded. Well, a good Wednesday morning to you, and we want to welcome you to the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina, for Wheat Among the Tares. I appreciate you joining us this morning here for our broadcast, and trust that the matters that we deal with here every week are help and a blessing to you. Pastor Steve Williams, I want to welcome you to the studio this morning.
Good morning to you, and all you that are listening today, thank you for being on the program.
It is a blessing to have everybody aboard. Pastor, we are going to be dealing with a subject this morning that is controversial. It is I'll use the word terrible to even have to deal with. And it's the matter of human trafficking here, not only in the state of South Carolina, but around the world. And we have a special guest with us this morning. He is the interim president of Palmetto Family here in Columbia, South Carolina. And I'm speaking of Brother Mitch Prosser. He is going to be with us here this morning, and we're going to be talking about the matter of human trafficking. Brother Mitch, welcome to Wheat Among the Tares.
Brothers, thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for what you're doing to make sure that South Carolinians and Christians around the world know exactly what's going on, what they can do about what is happening.
Brother, you have delved much into this subject, and I know that the matter of human trafficking as a whole is a terrible blight. I can use that word, I think, on our society today. And Mitch, you and I had an opportunity to speak earlier about this subject, and what I want to do, just first of all, is jump into this from the standpoint of how it has come to pass here, not only in our state, but literally here in the United States and in other parts of the world. How has this all of a sudden become such a plague upon our land here? How has that come about?
Well, that's a great question. I think you, not to give too much of a history lesson, I think you have to go back to really the inception of our nation. And something that needs to be cleared up right out of the gate when it comes to human trafficking and human slavery. And that is since the fall of man, there has been a predilection to sinful nature. And part of that is to own human beings as property. In fact, there isn't a nation on the face of the planet that outlaws slavery as an institution until Britain in the early 1800s. And the second nation to do that is America in the midst of the Civil War with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments given to us by President Abraham Lincoln. So this has been a millennia old problem. And it's fascinating to me. It's, as you said, startling and sickening and so disappointing, but also fascinating to me how this issue has come to the forefront of people's their minds or their thoughts, and whether it's a movie that they've seen, whether it's a conversation that they've had in their Sunday school class, whether it's just part of our lives now. Unfortunately, the sad reality is that there are upwards of 35 million slaves still in existence around the world today. Many of those, unfortunately, through human trafficking, and I want to be careful and sensitive with our audience today, but through sexual exploitation and trafficking as well. And the Southeast, specifically South Carolina, is certainly not immune to that worldwide, if I can use the word, pandemic. We are not immune to that problem.
I thought about this yesterday, and Pastor, and I didn't get a chance to share this with you before we went on the air, but I mentioned it's part of what I call the soft underbelly of our culture, in the sense that nobody really likes to think about it until they're affected by it. And of course, that can happen with a lot of things. But just from the standpoint of is if we tend to shove things under the rug and pretend like it doesn't exist, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It does.
Sure.
And I'm afraid even in a lot of churches, Pastor, that the matter is it's not even addressed from the standpoint of something that we can pray about. I'm going to go to you just a second. And just the matter of how Israel offered their children in the fire to Moloch, such a horrible part of Israel's history.
The Bible said in the last days, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, that perilous times shall come. And one of the signs of the last days is that people will be without natural affection. When that just natural affection is just that should be there is gone. And that when parents can sacrifice their children in the Old Testament, throw them into a fire, sacrifice them to the god Moloch. There's other horrible things that you and I were just talking about earlier that I won't get into that Israel did. But that when parents can even prostitute their own children for the sake of financial gain, and throw them into such vileness and such a fierce. The Bible talks about one of the signs of the last days is that men will be fierce. I mean, that is extreme vileness and just ungodliness. And when men don't have, natural affection, that man's sinful desire and nature, when it is unleashed, it is the most dark, vilest thing. That we say we can't comprehend it, but that is the depth of every man's heart that doesn't know God.
That's right.
Only God brings light into such darkness. That's why men, we want to see this problem stopped. Men have to get saved. Men have to get born again. Only the Word of God can break such bondage.
Amen. Amen. Mitch, the what Pastor just described as the depths of what is going on right now. Just from the standpoint of what happened in the history of Israel and how men today lack no natural affection. I think I didn't want to bring this up, but I will caveat it at this point and say, Mitch, the abortion issue alone way back in 1972, 73, that really started us on a roll, if you would, of losing natural affection for our children. And then other decisions came along, and we are just seeing the culmination of a lot of ungodliness that has been foisted on our society by these decisions from the courts.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think, in fact, I'd go a little bit further backwards. I think I'd take you back to Woodrow Wilson, who's the one who really introduces the progressive movement in America. He destroys our colleges and universities. His father was a seminarian, actually a pastor here in Columbia. But he was a higher education elitist, and he destroyed our higher education system, our college and universities, through the progressive movement. What we see downstream of that is the loss of prayer in schools, the Bibles removed from schools. Then we see about a generation after that, you can track it, 53, 63, 73, Roe v. Wade and Justice Blackmun's harmful decision and opinion that ravaged and wrecked and ruined our nation for 50 years. That I was talking with a lady yesterday about this. We use terms for a woman's pregnancy like trimester that Chief Justice Blackmun created from the bench. And I think a lot of those, as you pointed out, those decisions given to us by the court are downstream from the sinfulness of man. And if I can be so careful and yet bold to say, ultimately, in many cases, it's the church who backed away from its rightful role abdicated and abandoned its role in society to be the informer, to be the standard bearer of what is righteous and what God's word says. So, you know, I think it goes back a little bit further, but you're absolutely right. Our country has been on a collision course with evil. And as you said, Pastor, people need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen. And that ultimately is our only hope.
I was wondering, in the course of what you just said, Mitch, and the collision course, he mentioned, Pastor, during his little bit of dialogue there, our collision course and how churches have failed.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I know that we are to, of course, preach the gospel. That's our primary for men to get saved.
Yes.
But the idea of leaving the laws of our land and the political landscape to the world, when you leave the authority of the land to wicked men, then vileness will ensue. Yes. To a great depth.
Yeah.
And you know, certainly the answer is, we know that the churches must inform, even this issue, you know, sex trafficking, you hear of it. You know, you don't realize maybe how bad it is if you're not clued in. It's something in some other country, and every now and then maybe it may happen. Somebody gets exported here from America, but the statistics are staggering. And just in our state, how much it has happened, to the point that when I even know of individuals that have had that happen to them,
yes,
and have been rescued from that, and situations where girls that we are privy to that have had that began to happen to them, and it got stopped before they got taken, you know, and transported, you know, exported out to another country. So it's something that we know of, our minds and the people we know, we can touch it personally. And when that happens, then it gives you an idea of how bad it really is.
Yes. Mitch, the effect here, I'm going to broaden our horizon here just a moment, not only in South Carolina, but I know that you also, you deal with other states, you deal with other entities similar to Palmetto Family. What are you hearing from them as far as their emphasis and what they're trying to do to alert our country and possibly even the rest of the world as to what is going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're part of a Family Policy Alliance, which has groups or ministries like ours in 42 different states across the nation. Human trafficking looks different in every one of those locations, and the surroundings and the culture and the climate. You know, a lot of people saw the Sound of Freedom, and that tells us what human trafficking looks like in South America. We want people to know what it looks like in South Carolina and
yes, sir,
in other places across the country. You know, the unfortunate reality, as you pointed out, pastors, in many cases, human trafficking in South Carolina is very familial. I want to be sensitive of the audience, but it's the family that can't afford to pay the rent. And so they send a daughter or a son out, whether it's to do work, like actual physical labor that may be under the table, or of a sexual nature. And it's unbelievable how often this occurs. It's the young lady who is being taken advantage of by people in her own friend network. It's very discouraging to hear some of these stories. There's a great encouraging side to that, that we have great resources here in the state. But as we were talking about a little bit yesterday in preparation for the show today, you know, one of the things is I was visiting City of Refuge in Atlanta, Georgia, this past summer with a group of our student interns. And they gave me an alarming statistic, and that is that it takes a victim of human trafficking 7 times to break the cycle. They get the help they need, and then because of coercion, because of social conditioning, because of the lies and the abuse that have been thrust upon them, they believe that's their only realistic chance at survival. And so they go back to it. And that happens back and forth 6 to 7 times before they finally break the chain. And it's very sad, but it's very real. It's very real what these young ladies and men are dealing with. And it, and as you guys pointed out, it's not just happening where they are being exported or shipped overseas. It's happening in Lexington and Latta and Lincolnton. So I think we've got to really focus in as the church on being the hands and feet of Jesus and a resource, and maybe opening our eyes and broadening our horizons to what it looks like and what we can do about it.
The fabric of the family.
Yes.
And Mitch, you described it so aptly there from the standpoint and I think of a verse right here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Pastor. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, and financial aspects not only are driving what a lot of these families are doing because they're, quote, trying to make ends meet, but the fabric of our families. You have been preaching on a series of the family, and I can't think of a more important subject in the times that we live in right now. When Mitch was just saying something, you kind of, nodded your head, and how that the effect of, again, the society that we live in, if the fabric of families is destroyed, so goes our society. And there's no really replacement for that.
Sure.
And, and I'm at a loss at words here, really honestly trying to convey my thought here of saying it is so vitally important for parents, and Mitch, I know you would agree with this, for parents to stay on top of the things that their kids are doing. But when parents are the ones that's actually doing this, Pastor, I mean, I'll ask you first, what do we do to give the light of the Word of God in that situation?
Yeah, well, it's a question that I was fixing to defer to Brother Mitch here, just in the standpoint, we took initiative to have a woman come speak to a women's group at our church about sex trafficking, about mm-hmm. what's going on, to bring awareness to them, and especially women that can, and we know this is not a issue where it's just women sex trafficking, young men, young boys. I mean, it's gotten worse than your mind can imagine. But, mm-hmm. Brother Mitch just mentioned about the fact of, churches becoming aware, churches get involved, what we can do. And, that's really the question. And I'm gonna push that to you, Brother Mitch, because we can say, churches become aware, but, it's like, what can you do about something that is this thing that's happening, but it's so phantom, you don't even know where it's happening or what you can do. So, when we make the statement, what churches can do, I know we can pray about it, but we need to find, mm-hmm. we need to find programs that are helping these girls, in which we have done that and reached out. Our ladies been out to reach out to girls that's been involved in this stuff. Can you give some help to that question?
Good question.
Absolutely. In fact, I'll give you two possible solutions to the problem. The first is short term. The second is short and long term. Well, they're both long term. The first one is connect with valuable resources in your community. You, right there in Lexington, y'all have one of the most invaluable resources.
Yes, certainly.
And I don't want to hyperbolize here. I believe Lisa Kerr and Lighthouse for Life is one of the best resources in the country when it comes to helping people struggling with prostitution and human trafficking. They are an invaluable resource. And not just because she's a friend, because I've grown to respect her as a woman of courage, conviction, and faith. What Lighthouse for Life is doing, not just in Lexington, but across the state, and I can't say a lot more than this, but across the country, because of the sensitivity of some of their what they're doing, incredible resource right there for the church, ladies groups to get involved with. incredible resource in Lighthouse for Life. The second thing I'll say is something that's just as uncomfortable as human trafficking, but I think must be addressed across all spectrums. You know, one of the things that we focused in on at our legislative priorities this legislative session has been age verification. And it may take me a little bit longer to explain this than sure. than the listener may be used to. And I don't encourage anybody to go to a bar at all. Don't do that. But if you were under the age of 18, there's a bouncer at the door of that bar that says you're not allowed inside. We need bouncers at the door. First of all, we need to get rid of internet pornography in the state of Amen. South Carolina. No one should be looking at the garbage. It destroys lives, relationships. Certainly no one under the age of 18 needs to be looking at it. We're pushing for age verification that would put a limit on those websites. No one under the age of 18, and they would have to prove that they were older than 18. And the other big thing that we're doing is known as the Children's Default for Safety Act. And most people don't know this, but they have a filter on their phone, specifically an iPhone right now. iPhones are the leading source of internet pornography today, especially those under 18. There's a filter that can be activated in less than a minute by a parent and passcode protected to keep their children from looking as much of this as possible.
Yes, sir.
And we know that the heart is desperately wicked. We know that the one who wants to get it will get it, but we've got to safeguard our children. And the reason those two are so connected, and I hate to say it this way because it sounds as gross and lucrative, if you will, so carnal, if you will. We understand that human trafficking problem, pandemic that we're facing in a nation has three components. It has the seller, the one trafficking. It has the product, if you will, the one being trafficked. And then it has the buyer, the one who is consuming the product. The problem with internet pornography, especially in young men, but also young women under the age of 18, is it's setting up a pathway for them to become a buyer and even potentially a product in human trafficking. We know that many of the young men and women who are the product in human trafficking are not doing it willingly. Pornography is a large component of human trafficking, but in your own home, your kids need to be protected from internet pornography, not just because it wrecks, ravages, and ruins their relationships, their mindset, and it's harmful to them, let alone evil. It sets them up for a potential abuse and future. It sets them up for a potential future in human trafficking. So turning those filters on, growing in awareness of that in internet pornography, and Protect Young Eyes is somebody, organization that Palmetto Family has partnered with, they're doing an incredible job. PYE, Protect Young Eyes. We're working with them on an awareness campaign. We want as many people to know about this as possible because we've got to protect as many young eyes as we possibly can to stave off the disaster of evil in future generations.
Mitch, the word that comes to my mind is the word violence. And
yes.
That really, when it's all said and done, men at their own, we at our heart are violent. And the more and more we engage in our sin, it drives more and more into a violent situation. Sure. And that's why I can praise God and say, when the peace of God that passeth Amen. All understanding Amen. Comes into a man's heart, delivers him from that. Mitch, one final point here, and I want to give adequate time for it. Certainly, you mentioned resources, things that need that we as Christians can reach out and try to help where we can. When it comes to our attention, as to maybe somebody would reach out and say, "My child is involved," but I'm afraid for their safety. Are there places of safe havens that can help with this situation? Not only, again, us praying, but actually providing some hands-on help when it comes to that.
Yes, there are. Because of their nature, we don't talk about them a lot. I will once again refer you back to Lighthouse for Life.
Okay.
They can direct people to the right resources, and people can email us, email@palmettofamily.org, and we can point you to the right resources. Most of those resources exist but aren't widely known because they want to protect the safety. If you will, imagine a spy that needs to go to a safe house because they're being tracked by another spy or the enemy. The enemy, these people who are selling in trafficking, in human trafficking, are trying to track down the people that they think they own. So we've got to protect them as much as possible. The resources are there. Safe houses are there. People can go to and get the help they need. The counseling, the support, the biblical resources, the peace that they need. Lighthouse for Life, and then email us at email@palmettofamily.org.
Two excellent resources. And for those that, and I do want to remind everybody that those that listen to this broadcast in other states around the United States and other countries who have very, very similar situations, Pastor, for those that know of people that have undergone this slavery, if you would, certainly to reach out for pastors to understand better how to deal with this. And this program this morning, I think alone, has done much to try to open our eyes to this. And I know that we barely scratched the surface, honestly. Yeah. But certainly from the standpoint of informationally wise, that the Lord can certainly give us direction concerning that. Pastor, as is our custom, let's pray for this and pray for Palmetto family and all that they do.
I want to make a statement before we pray. You know, when Mitch just mentioned the Child Online Safety Act, and that's being pushed, and hopefully that becomes law, that it protects young people, you know, from their phones, internet, not stumbling onto this stuff, because they're not even looking for it. It's looking for them, and it's trying to find them. And what we did, even though the state is trying to take that action, thank God for it. He mentioned first and foremost, parents must take that action.
Absolutely.
Parents have to. Years ago, my wife and I, we were the last ones in our church to ever go from flip phones to the smartphone. And the reason why is because of all the access and our children, the access that would be there. And when we found out that you could put parental, you know, blocks and all these things, you know, that he just mentioned with the iPhone, that's what we did. And with our children, I mean, the internet, we said unless the internet could be totally inoperable, well, we can stop it. They're not getting the phone. Well, then realize that we were able to put those child protection codes on there, and they couldn't get anything unless you opened a website for them, allowed it, then shut it back down. Then they can access that, and that's the only website they can go to. So as a parent, you're doing your job to protect your children.
Amen.
And so let me encourage you parents out there that your child, the worst thing that could happen is you give a child a cell phone with full access to the internet and all of this social media stuff and everything. You have no idea the almost irreversible damage that you'll be doing, except for the grace of God get involved. Amen. You're heading them down a path of heartache and hurt, stuff that they're going to be exposed to, that's going to be issues for them for the rest of their life. So let me encourage you. Thank God for what the state's doing, but parents, do your job. Amen. Amen. That's what I say to you. Do your job.
Amen.
All right. Father, we sure love you. Thank you today for this broadcast. And Lord, we pray for Palmetto family. thank you for what they're doing and staying engaged in the state house and the legislation with the House and the Senate, letting us know what's going on, keeping us informed, and Lord, the battles that they're fighting and so many great things that they were able to be involved with that has helped our state to become a safer place, a more godly place, to, Lord, keep evil at bay. And I pray for Mitch, God, that you'll bless him in the position that you have him in, that you'll use him there. And Lord, I pray for those that are involved in this sin, some willingly and most unwillingly. I pray for their deliverance. I pray for their freedom.
Amen.
And Lord, I pray for the grace of God to reach them, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for these people to be saved. Pray that, Lord, you'll bless those organizations that are involved in this to help people. Bless them financially, physically, emotionally, be able to, Lord, to do the greatest part that they can to help, Lord, to overcome this, especially here in South Carolina.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Mitch Prosser, Palmetto Family Interim President, thank you so much for joining us and conveying to us your wisdom and matters concerning what's going on here as far as human trafficking here in South Carolina. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me on. God bless you all.
Brother. You take care. Bye-bye. Pastor, certainly a subject that is unpleasant at best.
Sure.
And but I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity we've had to bring this. Folks, pray if you know of somebody that's going through this right now, if you know of a family that is hurting because of this, certainly that you would reach out to the resources available. If you're listening in other states and other countries, that and it's going on there for sure, that that you would reach out. And again, let's pray for those that are involved in this. Well, thank you for joining us for Wheat Among Tares. Pray for us here. May the Lord bless you and have a good day in the Lord.